God has an encouraging word for you and me today through the Bible-based preaching of Dr. Don Wilton and a message on God's timeline. That's right. Today's message is called God's Timeline for the Ages. I'm excited to begin this two-part series with Dr. Don Wilton. In just a few moments, we'll be beginning in the book of Daniel, chapter 11. But before we dive in, Dr. Wilton always insists I remind you we are here to pray for you, here to connect you with resources that will help you grow. If you'd like to connect keyboard to keyboard, let's get together online at tewonline.org. That's tewonline.org. Or if it's maybe a phone call that would be more appropriate, call us now. 866-899-WORD will connect us 24 hours a day. That's 866-899-9673. And now today's message with Dr. Don Wilton.
I'm going to invite you to turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Daniel, the book of Daniel in chapter 11. We're going to be looking at quite a few passages of Scripture. I don't want you to lose Daniel chapter 11, but we are going to be in the book of Revelation. So you might as well just put a thumb in Revelation 16, thereabouts. We're also going to be in Ezekiel chapter 38 and a couple of other places. And I will also read to you from the book of Joel and various other places in Scripture. But the ones that I want you to have most of all are Daniel chapter 11, Revelation chapter 16, and Ezekiel chapter 38. We're going to be looking tonight very simply and directly at the Battle of Armageddon. The Battle of Armageddon. I want to read to you first of all from Daniel chapter 11 and beginning at verse 36. Daniel chapter 11 and beginning at verse 36. The king, and I want to just say to you right up front that we are talking here about the Antichrist. That is why king is with a little k or a small lowercase k, the king. This is about the king who exalts himself. The king will do as he pleases. He will exalt and magnify himself above every god and will say unheard of things against the God of gods. Some people have said, surely that must be the King of Kings. There is no way that the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords would say unheard of things against himself. He will be successful until the time of wrath is completed. That is the period of tribulation, which we know as 7 years. For what has been determined must take place. He will show no regard for the gods of his fathers. That is, he is going to move against all religious orders of any kind, or for the one desired by women. Some people believe that he will be homosexual. Other people believe that that may be a reference to the Lord Jesus Christ. I do not see that myself in any form. And it says, nor will he regard any god, but will exalt himself above them all. Instead of them, he will honor a god of fortresses. That is, he is going to worship the military, and the military is going to be his right arm. A god unknown to his fathers will he honor with gold and silver, with precious stones and costly gifts. He will attack the mightiest fortresses, and with the help of a foreign god, and will greatly honor those who acknowledge him. That, I believe, is a direct reference to the religious ruler who is going to rise up and the false prophet who is going to be alongside of him. He will make them rulers over many people and will distribute the land at a price. At the time of the end. Now here it is. This is coming into the Battle of Armageddon, because the Battle of Armageddon is going to be the very final battle that is going to take place just before Jesus Christ comes back again, his second coming. The Battle of Armageddon is going to take place at the end of the 7-year tribulation, and I'm going to come back to this. So, at the time of the end, the king of the south, we're referring to the African countries in northern Africa, will engage him in battle. And the king of the north, that is Russia, And his cohorts will storm out against him with chariots and cavalry and a great fleet of ships, which obviously are going to come from the northern Mediterranean region and from the Baltic and the Black Sea, the Adriatic Sea. He will invade many countries and will sweep through them like a flood. Now here it is, the Antichrist, verse 41. He will also invade the beautiful land. Where is that? That is Palestine. That's God's land. Many countries will fall, but Edom, Moab, and the leaders Ammon will be delivered from his hand. He will extend his power over many countries. Even Egypt will not escape. That is the king of the south. He will gain control of the treasures of gold and silver and all the riches of Egypt and the Libyans and the Nubians in submission. And remember, I told you on a previous study, the Nubians were a group of Jewish people who lived north of Israel, really where we would today talk about southern Syria or northern Lebanon, and in that kind of zone. And I'm not going to go back into that, but you'll remember that from a previous study. Verse 44, but reports from the east. Now watch me for a moment, folks. We're going to notice something here. The Battle of Armageddon is going to talk about north, south, and east. Well, what happened to west? West is where the Antichrist comes from the revived Roman Empire. And so literally, the Battle of Armageddon is going to encompass north, the Russias, south, the northern kingdoms of Africa, the west, where the Antichrist comes from, the east, and we're going to look at that, which I believe, and so do many others. We're talking directly about the Asian countries and more specifically about China. I personally believe that China has a major role to play, not only in the destruction of everything that pertains to God's holiness, but plays a direct role in the final stages of God's timetable leading up to the Battle of Armageddon. And so here we have the Antichrist marching against Israel, and we're going to pinpoint where that place is in just a moment. And reports are going to come from the east that are going to stop him in his tracks, and the north, which will alarm him. And he will set out in a great rage to destroy and to annihilate many. And then in verse 45, he will pitch his royal tents between the seas at the beautiful holy mountain. This next week, I will be in Israel with a lot of our people from our church, and we are going to actually stand right at that point. And it's remarkable how when you stand in the valley of Megiddo, how you can see most clearly the pitching of his royal tent between the seas at the beautiful holy mountain. And then, of course, the consummation of all of this, yet he will come to his end and no one will help him. Let's have a word of prayer together. Father, help us to understand your word tonight. Help us, Lord, by your Spirit to be able to draw strength tonight. Help us, our Father, to be able to see clearly the hand of God tonight. Take this preacher and hide me behind the cross. Please do not allow this pastor to get in the way of your Spirit. And Father, we want you to have clear access to our hearts. We want you to encourage us and to speak to us. We want to be lifted up by the might and power of your Spirit in the inner man. And Father, when all is said and done tonight, may we be ready to respond to your Spirit and according to your word. Because we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I'm going to try to look at the Battle of Armageddon from a number of different perspectives. So I'm going to ask you to kind of stick with me for a little while, if you don't mind. And I believe that throughout this journey that we're going to take here tonight, that perhaps God is going to help us to understand what we're doing. We're going to look at this in different perspectives. First of all, I want to look at the context. We're going to be asking the question, when is this going to take place? Then we're going to look at the setting. We're going to say, well, where is Armageddon going to take place? Then we're going to look at the reason. Why the battle of Armageddon? I think that's a good question, don't you? Why the battle of Armageddon? And one of the questions I have, I don't know about you, is why would God even let something like this happen? Because we're going to discover that it's not a pretty picture at all. And then in the fourth place, the participants. Who are going to be involved in the battle of Armageddon? Personally, again, I'd certainly like to know that. And then the sequence, how is the battle of Armageddon going to unfold? What's the battle plan, if you please? What's the strategy here, and how are things going to evolve and come? How is it all going to work itself out? And then finally, in the sixth place, the outcome. What is the result of the battle of Armageddon? What is going to happen as a result of all of that? So, let's begin then with the context. When is this going to take place? And I want to make several statements to you. I want to say to you that the battle of Armageddon is being prepared for already. Now, I know that may sound like rather a redundant or simplistic somewhat statement to make in the year 2000, but if you think about the wars and the rumors of wars that have gripped the world ever since the time of our Lord Jesus Christ and from the creation of the world, God's timetable has been marching according to the drumbeat of man's preparation for Armageddon because of man's sin against God. The sinfulness of mankind is a preparation for Armageddon. And I think it's very important for us to remember that. Remember that in Romans chapter 8 and verse 1, that Paul says, there is now therefore no condemnation to those who are in union with Christ Jesus. And what Paul is saying there is that Paul is trying to tell us that the forgiveness that we have in Christ when we are washed and redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, and when we are forgiven by Almighty God through the death of Jesus Christ, that basically what has happened is that Armageddon has been removed from the life of a believer. Armageddon is the climactic moment in the meeting out or the pouring out of the wrath of God upon mankind. Armageddon is the culminating point of the anger of God. Now, folks, sometimes today in America, we kind of struggle a little bit in trying to really understand that God hates sin. God will not tolerate unrighteousness. And yet, right throughout the ages, from before the foundation of the world, God's grace has been poured out. And then Jesus Christ came, and Jesus paid with His life the death upon the cross, and we entered into the church age, the most incredible dispensation of the grace of God, and God has been pouring out His grace and pouring out His grace and pouring out His grace. And the Word says to us that God is long-suffering. You just think of you and me. I think of my own life, and I think of the numbers of times that God has poured out His grace upon me, and He's given to me not one chance, not two, but three and four and five, and He's forgiven me, and He's forgiven me, and He's forgiven me, and He's forgiven me. I want to tell you something, folks, that the battle of Armageddon is the culminating point of a world at war with the righteousness of God.
Forgive me for interrupting. We'll be back in just a moment to continue in this powerful God's Timeline for the Ages message with Dr. Don Wilton. But he insists I remind you, we're here for you. We'd love to pray with you and for you, keyboard to keyboard, on our website at tewonline.org. That's tewonline.org, or at this phone number, 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. Now back to today's teaching with Dr. Don Wilton.
Armageddon comes just moments before the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it precipitates, or it brings about, the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because it is the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ that provides us with the ultimate outcome and the resolution to this ultimate conflict called Armageddon. Isn't it amazing that God looks back and he says, listen, I gave you my son to begin with, and here you are engaged in Armageddon, and Satan is going to try to do his utmost to absolutely take over the world. And God says, I want you to know all you've got to do is look to my son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Hark, the herald angels sing. And here comes Jesus Christ again in all of his resurrected glory, and he moves down and lands on the Mount of Olives and turns to Satan and says, all right, big boy, this time I've had enough of you. The world at war. Second contextual consideration is conflict with Israel. Remember that we cannot see eschatological dynamics and the movements of God in last days outside of the context of the nation of Israel, God's chosen people. Don't ever forget, my beloved friends, that the Abrahamic covenant of Genesis chapter 12 was a promise of God to his people Israel that I will be with you and I will never leave you, and those who curse you will be cursed and those who bless you will be blessed. And I'm going to submit to you tonight that God is a God of his word, and God has never forgotten his word. And I believe that at Armageddon, God reaches down from the portals of heaven and he says, it's time for me to deliver upon my word. Armageddon takes place right there in the heartbeat of Israel. Number three, a third contextual consideration with regard to Armageddon is the removal of the Holy Spirit, which is going to take place at the rapture of the church. Remember, when the rapture of the church takes place, now 7 years prior to Armageddon itself, remember that as the church leaves the world, so does the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God leaves the world with the church, with the believers. When all believers leave, the Spirit of God leaves. And when the Spirit of God leaves, the world has got no means by which they can control their anger and hostility against the righteousness of God. It doesn't matter how nice of a people we might be, this place will be in absolute chaos before we can count to three. I don't think we've seen anything likened unto what's going to happen when the rapture of the church takes place and all believers are going to be snatched out from this world, and the world is going to be left unto its own devices, and it is only going to be the cunning and deceit of the Antichrist who's going to rise up and going to announce peace, and he's going to sign treaties even with Israel, and people are going to have no choice but to follow after the Antichrist and to accept the number 666 on their foreheads. Why? Because they no longer will have the Holy Spirit to guide them and to direct them and to encourage them and to open their eyes unto truth. And so the removal of the Holy Spirit places Armageddon in context, doesn't it? Unmitigated disaster. Number four, Satan's own persecution of the Jews. If you just look with me very quickly at Revelation chapter 16, I want you to listen very carefully, verse 13. Remember that the Bible says that there is a cooperation between an unholy Trinity. Now I've got to make sure I don't lose my way here. We talk about the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, as we discovered in our study in the book of Revelation. During the time of the tribulation, the world is going to be governed not by the Holy Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, because God has been removed from this earth. Rather, in place of God is going to come an alliance of an unholy Trinity. And the rule of an unholy Trinity is going to precipitate an awful march down the highway to Armageddon, which is just 7 years away. Well, look with me at Revelation 16 and verse 13. I saw three evil spirits that looked like frogs. They came out of the mouth, number one, of the dragon, out of the mouth, number two, of the beast, and out of the mouth, number three, of the false prophet. Who is that? That's the unholy Trinity let loose upon the earth during the tribulation.
The dragon, Satan himself, the beast, the head of the established Roman Empire, the Antichrist, the false prophet, the head of the religious system who is going to become an ally of the Antichrist during all of this. Isn't it ironic that the world today is moving more and more in line with an allyship between the religious order of the day and secular humanism? You know that more and more godlessness in the world today is looking more and more to religious groups to support their godless behavior. Folks, today major conventions, denominations are meeting all over the world. The Anglican Episcopalian Church met in Scotland for their annual huge meeting with Episcopalians. And let me just tell you right now, I've met some of the finest born-again believers who are Episcopalians. I'm not talking about individuals. I'm talking about the denomination, the whole group, the unit. Per se, the Church of England met in Scotland, and the only subject for debate and discussion was to what extent the Anglican Church was going to sanction and support the homosexual lifestyle. God says, if you want to know about the context of Armageddon, just look at what's going on. The preparation is everywhere. The demand more and more is going to be for the church to ally and to support godlessness. And folks, somewhere, somehow, there are going to be some born-again believers who are going to stand up and who are going to say it doesn't matter what happens or who says what and how much we feel or how much we think, we are going to stand upon the Word of God. We're going to stand upon the Word of God. And so, I'm going to submit to you that the rapture of the church is the only thing that remains. If you want to say to me, Pastor, when is the Battle of Armageddon going to take place? It's going to take place at the end of the tribulation, and we're only going to be able to know when the end of the tribulation takes place when all of us are out of here. I think on my way up there, I'm going to say, start counting. We're not going to know until the rapture of the church takes place. And so some of you are going to say, well, Pastor, when does the rapture take place? I don't know. Anyone here know? I don't know. See, that's not the important thing. The important thing is, are we ready for the rapture? If the rapture were to take place tonight, if Jesus Christ was to blow that trumpet right now and we were to be caught up together with Him and to meet the Lord in the air, the question is this, are you ready? I am. Not because of me, but because of the Lord. And I know the majority of you are, and I pray that all who listen to my voice on radio and are listening to this message, I pray that you are ready to go to be with the Lord Jesus Christ forever. That's why we meet together. All right, number two, the setting. Where is this going to take place? Revelation chapter 16. Revelation chapter 16. I'm going to just read this verses 13 through 16 for you very quickly, Revelation 16. Then I saw three evil spirits that looked like frogs. They came out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. They are spirits of demons performing miraculous signs, and they go out to the kings of the whole world. By the way, who's going to be involved in Armageddon? The whole world. To do what? To gather them for the battle on the great day of God Almighty. This is Jesus now. Behold, I come like a thief. Blessed is he who stays awake and keeps his clothes with him, so that he may go naked, not go naked, and be shamefully exposed. What is Jesus saying here at this juncture? Just what I said just a moment ago, and the Apostle John on the island of Patmos, under the inspiration of God, is reminding us right here that God is talking about Armageddon and the antics and the tactics of the Antichrist. And he says, excuse me, just by the way, I hope that you're ready. Bottom line is, I hope that you've trusted me as your Savior.
I'm so sorry we have to pause for today, but that is the key concept. Have you trusted Jesus as your Savior? Before we get away, closing thoughts from our pastor, Dr. Don Wilton.
Are you ready to give your heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ? I'm so happy to hear that. Why don't you pray this prayer with me today? Dear God, I know that you love me very, very much. And I know that the Lord Jesus Christ came and died on a cross so that I might be forgiven of my sin. today, I repent of my sin. I confess my sin to you, and I invite you to come into my heart and into my life by faith. In Jesus' name I pray. If you've prayed that prayer, let me be the first one to welcome you to the family of God. This is wonderful. I hope that you know how much I'm going to be praying for you and how very important this is for me. Call us so that we can talk to you and connect you in the right place so you can begin this wonderful journey.
If the Lord has spoken to you as Dr. Don has been preaching and sharing the opportunity to give your heart to Christ, won't you call us? Won't you let us know how we can pray with you and for you, how we can put some great resources in your hands as you're beginning your walk with Jesus? Again, we're here at 866-899-WORD. That's number 866-899-9673. We're available 24 hours a day to speak with you, pray with you, and connect you with great resources. As a matter of fact, some of those great resources are this book with Dr. Don Wilton.
What happens the moment you die? Where do you go? Will we see our loved ones in heaven? Dr. Don Wilton looks at these questions and more in the absolute certainty of life after death, a modern retelling of the biblical story of the rich man and Lazarus. This compelling story chronicles the choices and fate of two very different but ordinary men, one very rich, one very poor, and what happened when they both died. Call us at 866-899-9673 to request your copy of the Absolute Certainty of Life After Death book today. The Encouraging Word is a viewer and listener-supported ministry, supporting God's truth around the world. Thank you for your support.
Dear Pastor Don, as an encourager of the Encouraging Word ministry, I've listened to many of your services on CDs, DVDs, and Sunday evening television. Your blessings have been fulfilling in my life. Your ministry and blessings is a great part of my life. You and your staff are in my daily prayers. I'm sending extra gifts this month to help reach people throughout the Encouraging Word ministry. What we need is more people like you and your lovely wife willing to leave their homeland and go wherever God has led them. We love you, Pastor.
Through the Encouraging Word, I have been drawn closer to Jesus. Every morning I read my devotional. I used to be a Sunday Christian. I only read my Bible on Sunday, but through the ministry of the Encouraging Word, it has encouraged me to read my Bible and pray more. I love the Lord, and I know He is with me. I love the Encouraging Word. I watch every Sunday. When you take communion, I take it too. Thank you, Dr. Don.
Today, something really great happened. I spent the entire day with my oldest daughter, who is 21. She's been struggling along with being very distant for a while now. I shared my faith in the Lord with her and how my life has changed because of the Encouraging Word, especially since reading Totally Secure. She asked if she could read it, so I gave her my copy, and she immediately started reading that and also started reading the Daily Encouraging Word devotional.
Our time's gone for now, but we're connecting 24 hours a day online at tewonline.org or at the other end of this phone number, 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673.